the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid and
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Even email your audio file. If you want to record it on your smart device and send it to me, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you as we get closer and closer to All Hallows Eve?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm less scary looking today, as you can tell.
You are. I can see your face again.
I can see clearly now. The beard is gone. I can see all particles of food that I've shoved in
on
my
face.
Yes, they've all... You like that?
It's
kind of count for that. Yeah, so I got rid of the beard, everybody.
Yep.
It was becoming a hindrance.
Well, I like this, like... extended 5 o'clock shadow look that you have going on.
So
that's good.
That still exists. I didn't like go completely beardless.
Yeah.
But the David Letterman type style thing I had going on.
Middle-aged Santa version.
Middle-aged Santa, I don't know. I mean, was it hipsterish? Was I bordering on hipsterish? I didn't do any like weird designs or anything on it or braiding it or
I don't think they do.
No. I don't know.
I don't know. I think of some of the people I consider hipsterish, yeah, like on TV, and I don't even think they had it that long.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I think it was a little experiment. I tried it. I wanted to see, because I just kind of kept going one day when like, I'll shave. Nah, I'm just going to keep going. Just see what happens. See what I think of it. I've never grown it that long.
And
Now I have. Now I can say I've done that, and I can say I'd like to not do that again.
Yeah. I think that'd be good.
So I'm back to fairly normal looking. And the fun part is we've been eating healthier and trying to be better with all that. And when I shaved, like, oh my gosh, my face looks thinner.
Now, it does.
It was dramatic enough just with the beard gone. But it's like, I don't think it was my face looked quite this thin before.
You're fortunate that that's the first place when you lose weight that it shows.
Sometimes I wish it was other places, though, because it's fairly easy for my face to drop it and everything else not so much.
Yeah.
Sometimes I could do I do a trade-off, quite honestly, but I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I would trade it. Yeah. I would rather have my weight come off there than where it comes off first.
I get you. Sure. Well, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories. If you're a new listener, welcome. Glad you could join us. We do this thing year-round, so you'll never have a shortage of ghost stories if you like them. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, so you do not miss a single episode. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Sierra. I'm recording this from Yuma, Arizona. I recently started listening to your show probably a couple of days ago, and I just wanted to share some of my experiences with you. They have to do with my grandparents and the passing of them. For as long as I can remember from my childhood growing up, my grandfather had cancer and he battled cancer for a good 17 years. And there was a particular year, and 2007 was the year actually, that he got terminally ill, and we were in and out of the hospital for him a lot. Mind you, I was probably in high school and still a very active dancer, but he was always too sick to go to any of my shows. But I understood. But there was a particular night where I had seen him at the hospital, and I told him, "All right, Tata, I will see you tomorrow." And he kind of looked at me, and he's like, "Well, maybe you won't." And I was like, "Oh, don't talk like that, you know. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night." And that night, I went to bed, and I had a very vivid dream that I was on stage dancing, and he was on stage left watching me the whole time. And all I can remember was dancing my heart out in this dream, and at the end of the routine, I go to stage left to exit, and I was hoping for him to be there, but there was just a nurse there. She kind of looked at me solemnly and shook her head, kind of as if to say, you know, he didn't make it. So I actually woke up to a knock on the door, and it was my father stating that my grandfather had just passed. And I kind of didn't know what to make of the situation. Ever since then, I kind of always have him in my dreams. And I know he's not supposed to be there. I know he's gone. So every single time, it kind of hurts a little bit. But he visits me constantly. So that's pretty cool. Moving on to my grandmother, his wife. This past year, actually, these past couple months, she's been battling her illness. She became terminally ill as well, and we had her in her home her last week of life on hospice. When she was here, she was kind of going through the transitioning process, you know, seeing loved ones, hallucinating, and so on and so forth. It was rough to see her go through that transition. I was her caretaker, myself and my mother, so we did have to deal a lot with helping her and, you know, taking care of her. And I guess the day we kind of felt like it was going to be her day, we didn't want to leave her side. The moment that we did, I went to take a nap because we had been up with her all night. And my mom just went to go do a load of laundry. Actually, that night, the nurses had told us she might not make it through the night, so we stayed up with her all night, and she did. So that following afternoon, we were both kind of tired, and I just went off to take a nap, and my dad actually stayed in the room with her, and he witnessed her final breath. Going on to a couple days later, you know, I expected a dream from her, as my tata did. I thought, you know, maybe she'll come to me in my dreams as well. And she never did until that night. I think I cried my eyes out just wanting to know if she was okay and if she was at peace. And as I fell asleep that night, I was dreaming of like an escalator kind of going over an ocean. And the ocean was not too rough, just a very high tide, I guess. And as I was going over this escalator in the ocean, I met my grandmother at the end. And she didn't say anything to me. She just smiled. And she looked beautiful. And I guess that was her way of coming to me and letting me know that she was okay and that she had passed. So I just want to thank you for your time. I really enjoy your show. And that's my story. Thank you, guys.
I think that the dream with the grandfather, that he got to see her dance.
I think so, too.
I think that was him visiting and that actually was something he witnessed.
He wanted to be there and was not able to because of, obviously, the illness. And it was his way of being able to go there and see it for himself, but then also to be there for her in one of those experiences.
Right.
So I agree. It sounds like this is an interesting thing. I'd be interested if other folks in her family had the same or have the same sort of thing where deceased relatives return in dream type states.
Sure.
To make their presence known or to make their final rounds. Thank you for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Katie from DFW, Texas. I am calling because I listened for a long time, and I thought I'd go ahead and contribute my story. I used to live in a little town in kind of southeast Texas. Anyway, it was a small town. The house was made in the 30s, and at the time I was kind of pretty young kid, so I never really thought about it being haunted or scary or anything like that. But I did have a lot of experiences in that house that I think kind of contributed to a lot of things that happened with my family throughout my life. I would go to sleep there and I could never face away from the wall on my bed. I just remember always feeling too terrified to roll away from the wall and look out into the room because I always felt like someone was there. Not necessarily a person, because it just felt cold and creepy and not just like a childish fear, like I'm too scared to roll over. Like, it was pretty terrifying for me. And as I tried and tried and tried to ignore it, it seems like it was reaching for me. And what I mean by that is I would be laying in my bed, squeezing my little eyes closed, hoping that whatever it was would go away and leave me alone. And I could feel like this icy, sharp finger or nail or something poking me on the shoulder blade, and it was like a consistent poke. It would just push and push and push into my shoulder blade, and I would cry myself to sleep because it was horribly terrifying. And I just remember thinking, if I roll over, whatever is there is gonna get me. You know, you're kids, you kind of like think everything's gonna get you, but I just remember thinking this particular thing was gonna get me. And I would just lay there hoping and praying and saying, leave me alone, you can't do anything. And as I got older, you know, eventually we moved out of that house, and I never felt the whatever it was poking me in the shoulder. But I feel like it might have, you know, I guess everyone says this, but it kind of opened a door to something or someone kind of terrorizing my family. It seems like there's always something going wrong with my family. And it wasn't until I moved away from my family completely and started my own family that it kind of stopped everything. You know, we would have weird stuff happen in our house no matter where we lived. And my dad and my brother always seemed like they were, I don't know, they would be fine one minute and then not the next. And a lot of it you can attribute to drugs and alcohol abuse, but I just feel like there must have been something there kind of picking at them in a weak state when they're in a weak state of mind. And it's just kind of, I don't know, but I don't know what you think about it. I just had to call because I always listen and I thought I'd contribute my story and see what you think. Don't necessarily know that I want to hear myself, but it would be interesting to see what you guys think on the situation. I look forward to, I guess, maybe hearing myself. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I think a lot of people think that their first experience with the paranormal somehow opened the door. And I think, honestly, somehow that door was open. That was just the first thing that came through it.
And then that's it?
And that's how things come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just, you know, a sensory thing that was somehow awakened,
mm-hmm,
or what it is. But I think a lot of people tag the blame for for the rest of their life or every paranormal thing they have onto that first thing.
When sure.
It may be just a higher sensitivity, or it could be somebody else in the house that somehow is haunted. Because mm-hmm. It sounds like things did get better when she was away from some of the other people that were in her house.
Sure. This doesn't correlate correctly to this, but the way you were saying it, you know, you opened the door and that's what was there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that with so many stories where we get in of, I opened the door and, you know, was it my aunt, you know, Edna showing back up? Or it's like, because I opened this door using a Ouija board or whatever. You know, and
or just somehow naturally.
Or somehow naturally. It's just like the door got opened and you don't necessarily, you can't really control who's going to be there.
Sure.
It could be Aunt Edna. It could be something completely different. It's a lot like opening the door for trick-or-treaters, a pack of them. You open the door and the most aggressive ones are going to get the candy first.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it works. And so I think that's kind of somehow the way it works with spirits too. You open the door, sometimes the most aggressive ones are going to be the ones that are going to push their way in for the Snickers.
Yeah.
And that's, there you go.
And I think a lot of times we don't realize that that door has somehow been opened.
Sure. I think sometimes we open it without even intending to open it. And I think sometimes others around us can open them. And you just end up being the victim of circumstance because so-and-so decided to play with the Ouija board in your room. You know?
Yeah.
Or something of that nature.
Right.
For example, Jenny has no idea. When she's upstairs napping, I'm playing with Ouija boards down here and having seances with our pets.
You make it sound like I nap like all the time. Like I just lay around and eat bonbons and I don't do shit.
I'm just saying because you were just napping before because we're both getting over an illness.
I was.
But that's the only reference I was making. I never make a reference that you're napping. It's like the only time I think I've ever referenced you napping.
I just don't like it being known that I occasionally take a nap when I feel like shit. Because
I think most people do, though, honey. No. I don't think it's a thing where it's like, oh, I feel like shit. I'm going to go run a marathon.
No, it's just, I feel guilty about that. There's a million other things I should be doing besides taking a nap, but... Well,
getting better is usually the best thing to do.
Stomach flu sucks.
Yeah, we got hit with that the past...
And I know it's not a true flu. Everybody calls it the stomach flu. It's whatever bug. Virus. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a fun couple of days with that. We, it first struck our youngest, Harper.
Yeah.
And she's one who loves going to school. Like, she was pissed off a couple weeks ago when she was kind of coughing. We said, maybe you should stay home today. No, I really want to. Okay.
Yeah.
So she got to go.
It was allergies. We dumped her up on DayQuil and sent her.
Yeah. And.
But then, you know, when you're taking care of a five-year-old that's vomiting, you get vomited on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like the kiss of death. You know you're going to get it then.
And you know she's ill when she... actually says, I think I should stay home.
Yeah.
So, yep, you got the vomit. Although I ended up getting struck down first and I didn't get vomited on.
Yeah, but you sometimes during the week, you have more one-on-one time with her in the evenings because I'm taking Libby all over the world to her various activities and you are picking up and taking Harper to hers.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Middle of the night, 3 a.m. one day, thought it was an exorcism. And, I was having my dinner exercised out of my body by some unknown forces. And that was, it wasn't good. It was a difficult one. And then a couple days later, you also had the exorcism.
It's like you use muscles that you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because I'm that out of shape or if that just is how wicked this stuff is.
Did you levitate at all? I had the levitation. Like, when I was in the bathroom, I came off the ground for a couple seconds, and then I just dropped back. Did that happen to you?
No. No, but... God, the day after, I thought maybe I had a cracked rib or something, just because it was just painful. You feel like you've been hit by a truck.
That can happen, can it?
I know it can with coughing. I don't know why it can't with vomiting.
I'm going to have another thing to worry about next time.
Yeah.
Vomit. Thanks for adding that one to the mix.
You're welcome.
Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Been listening to your show for about a week now, and I'm obsessed. I've been binge-watching. I travel a lot with work, and so I have it playing the whole time I'm driving. So, anyway, I wanted to get your insight on something. course, I've always been into the paranormal, always interested me. I feel like I'm a little bit sensitive. I've had a lot of experiences in my life. I don't really share them because my family would think I was nuts. But anyway, wanted to share the story and just see what you guys had to say about it. About a year and a half ago, my grandma passed away suddenly. I mean, she was elderly, but she wasn't in very bad health. She just had a stroke, and a couple of days later ended up dying. But she was always very motherly. You know, she just was a big influence in my life. And grew up within her home. I had six girl cousins. We would spend the night over there all the time. Anyway, we were just a really close family. I have two little boys, and one is, when they died, my oldest, he would have been about three, and my youngest was just an infant. So he wouldn't have any recollection of her. She only kept them just a couple of times if I needed her. It wasn't like they were there all the time with her. But she kept them just a couple of times if I had to be at work and I didn't have a sitter for that day. So anyway, like I said, my youngest, he was just an infant whenever she passed away, wouldn't have any recollection of her or anything about her. We talk about her sometimes, but it's not like she's everyday conversation. Anyways, we go over to my grandpa, her husband's home about once a week for dinner. Me and my parents and my kids and everything. And we will spend some time there. And just saying this, my grandma, she did, and my grandpa still does, have bottles of water that they keep in the bottom of the fridge. And the boys will go in there, and sometimes my grandpa, he has little juice boxes and stuff in there that I can go and get. Anyway, we were over there, and I'm sure the boys had gotten in there and gotten some drinks out that night we were there. Well, about a week later, we were just sitting in the car driving, and my youngest, who he's 2.5 now, I'm able to, you know, understand what he says. He can talk to me and tell me things. But anyway, he said, my grandma has water bottles in her refrigerator. And I said, she does, which his grandma, which is my mother, he doesn't call her grandma. But my oldest called my grandma passed away, grandma. So anyway, he said, my grandma has water bottles in the refrigerator. And I said, she does. And he said, yeah. And I said, where is your grandma? And he said, at her house. And I thought, Well, and you know, kids say stuff. But I thought, well, I'm just going to get a picture of her up on my phone real quick and see what he says. And so I found a good picture of my grandma. I said, turned the picture around to him, and I said, who is this? And he said, that's my grandma. And that just shocked me. And, you know, it kind of gave me goosebumps, like not bad goosebumps, but I just couldn't believe that he would say that, like that he would never have been able to recognize her. I don't know if he's ever seen a picture of her. And I've, you know, said, this is who this is. So anyway, ever since then, I don't know if she like came to him while we were at the house or whatever, but ever since then, he talks about his grandma all the time. And there will be times I'll be up in his bedroom, and he'll say something about his grandma, and I'll say, well, where is she? And he'll always, each time, go to the window, and he'll look out the window, and he'll say, she's down there. She's by that tree. And this is any time. And, I mean, I can ask him out of the blue and him not even mention it, and I'll say, where's your grandma? And then he'll go to run to the window, and then he'll say, you know, she's outside. And then a couple of times he said, grandma lives outside in a black house. I don't know where that comes from, but I don't know if she's just, like, visiting him because, you know, she didn't know him very long, or if she's just watching out for him. But I just think it's odd that he would say this. And, you know, I've heard Jenny say multiple times, you know, kids are more vulnerable to, you know, the spirit world. And, you know, it gives me comfort to know that she would be watching out, but just kind of wanted your insight and wanted to know what you guys thought about it. It's interesting. I've tried to tell my mom. She kind of blows it off, thinking I'm crazy, but anyway, I know I'm not crazy. I do feel like she's watching out for us. So anyway, thanks for listening. Love your guys' show. Have a great day. Bye.
I think grandma is watching out, and, you know, as little as the little guy is, it's one of those things. A lot of times when they get older and you ask them about it, they will not remember at all. It's like it's, you know, a special thing for right now, but they won't remember when they're older.
It's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah.
Especially with this topic. You would think, I remember all sorts of really, you know, mundane, ordinary things, but sometimes my mom would be like, remember we did this and it was like a big thing? Like, I have no recollection of that.
Yeah.
But I could like remember something just silly, like staring at a robin on the bird feeder or something on a semi-cloudy day. I could tell you everything about that, but something that, you know, you should remember. Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
What, I think the filter that kids have as far as what spikes the meter as far as importance, everything is spiking. It's just one solid spiked meter.
Well, and I sometimes wonder if paranormal stuff is, it's almost like it's taken away at some point, that memory.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, or if it just all blends in as just another interaction with something that's normal, because everything is new and everything is just, you know, whoa, this is all, it takes some living to pull that back to start going, oh, this, I am interested in that. You know,
yeah.
Or this is something to pay attention to or remember. Thank you for sharing that. Wouldn't it be interesting, you know, how we get stories of folks who had loved ones who have passed on and they show back up and they come to the kids in dreams or in reality, in non-waking hours, and deliver messages and things of that nature. What if you had the relative that sold like Amway or something and they loved it so much and then they came back and then little Jimmy's like, Mommy, Grandma came and she says she want that you really should invest in this new cleaning product from Amway.
Yeah.
And you start getting sold on products and things like that, or like Mary Kay or something from your deceased relatives through your children because they're pitching them products at night, not giving them family stories or hugs. It's just straight product pitches to the kids to try and get you to buy products.
I don't think that occurs. I think that once you're dead, you really realize how precious time is.
Sure. Well, you'd hope so.
Yeah.
You would hope so. I mean, but there's folks, and I bring that up because we have stories of folks who aren't in specific workplaces, and it seems that old Joe is still down the hall doing his stuff, and that seems to be like what he still likes to do, even in death. So I would suppose maybe you could be pitched pyramid scheme.
But I think that's more so
indirect
the place
marketing.
The place that they were most happy at, you know. If
sure.
they were most happy at work, they're gonna haunt work.
That's true. I agree. I want to see the ghost of a down this road is the ghost of the pink Mary Kay car that
right
guy. Is that Mary Kay that had the pink car, the Cadillacs? Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hello.
Hey, Tony. This is Carla from Seattle, Washington. September 2nd, we went on a overnight investigation on the Turner Joy, which is a naval destroyer docked in Bremerton. This time was the third time that we had been on the ship. And there was a special guest that was joining the group this time was Leslie Insher from Land of the Lost, The Great Days of Our Lives, Mike Horton. He had joined the group. There was 25 people, and we split into five groups. After 3:30 in the morning, everybody went to sleep except me and my friend Francis. We had been on the boat before, so we knew where our hot spots had been before. So this time, we went to the back where the lockers were, and this time we used the REM pod I put on the floor, the aisle, so when somebody would come by us, we would know that. And then I used another device. I used a voice-generated EMF detector where they could generate words so we could communicate with them. And then I had the K2 meter on the second bunk on the top. We asked questions. We asked them if they would come by us. And suddenly the REM pod started ringing on the floor, and we were communicating. So later on, we had gone to a different section of the boat, and then we came back to that same location. This time, we put several different devices on the floor, the REM pod. We had a motion detector. We had another motion detector on the opposite, so it was like zigzag, so that if something came by, we would really notice this. I actually got my tablet out and used the infrared night vision on it, the thermal camera, and we started asking questions. We asked who was here, and the word Aaron came up. So we were engaging with Aaron and trying to ask him if he would come closer to us. We really wanted to hear his story. The REM pod would go off, and we kept engaging with the entity and asking him if he would come closer. We really wanted to hear his story. And the word that came on the next thing was MIA, missing in action. And so I'd asked him, Aaron, were you still missing in action? Had they found your body? You know, and I was really telling him that we really wanted to hear your story and to come closer. And all of a sudden, on my thermal camera, I seen these quick light flashes 4 times going by. So when I was able to slow it down, you could actually see almost like a person walking by really fast. And this is the first time that we've had so much activity on this boat. It was really amazing because every location that we went to, we had really good responses. But that is my story, and I really enjoy your show. Thank you.
I bet most old naval ships like that probably have at least 1 or 2 stories to tell and somebody on there still to tell it.
You think?
I think so.
That never happens.
Oh, I think so.
It's never stories quite like that. Thank you for sharing the experience of your investigation that you had there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another call here in just a second. And by the way, if you you like the program, we have this EPP thing, and that's where we put our best stories. Every single week we do a special episode and give it just to our EPPs. EPP stands for Extra Podcast Person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. When you do, you get access to all 100, oh, we're close to like 170-ish now. Right around there. You get all those, access to exclusive other video material, advanced episodes of our other shows, lots of extras there. It's only $5 a month. Do that at ghostpodcast.com. That's what really supports this show and keeps it on the air. So if you like this thing, check that out, ghostpodcast.com. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Ginny, and I live in Austin, Texas. I'm a big fan of the show, and I just wanted to quickly share a maybe paranormal experience that I had as a child. I've lived in Texas my whole life, and I grew up in a very small town about 2 hours northwest of Austin. The experience happened one summer when I was about 11 years old, and my cousin, who was about a year younger than me, was staying at my house for a few weeks. She and I were really close, and we would kind of take turns staying at each other's houses when we were out of school for the summer. I also have an older brother who would usually hang out with us, but when this particular experience happened, he was staying at a friend's house out of town. So one night my cousin and I decided to try and stay up all night because we'd never done it before, and I guess it just seemed like the cool thing to do. We'd been playing card games, watching TV, just doing stuff to try and stay awake, and we went to see what board games I had. So this does involve a Ouija board. Basically, I'd gotten one as a birthday present a while before, and being kind of a sheltered child, I didn't really know what it was. It was like the Milton Bradley version, so I thought it was a game, I guess, and had put it with my board games in my closet. It was still in the plastic wrap. It hadn't been opened. My cousin actually knew what it was, or at least had heard of it at some point, so she decided we should use it to have a seance. I didn't know for sure what that would entail, but was willing to go along with it. So she says we need candles, and we need to sit on the floor with a Ouija board between us. It was about 1 or 2 in the morning by this time, so my parents were asleep, and she and I were the only ones awake in the house. So we're in my bedroom with the door closed, light off, candles lit, sitting on the floor with the Ouija board. She says that I should ask the first question since it's my house. I didn't really know what to ask, so she tells me to ask if there's anyone in the house with us. So I do. Right then, we both hear this loud click beside us. I had this huge antique wooden cabinet in my bedroom. My parents had a lot of antique furniture throughout the house, like pretty much most of our furniture. The top part of the cabinet consisted of a few shelves that I used as a bookshelf, and the bottom part had a set of drawers on one side of it, and on the other side it had this little door. I had never been able to open the door. It had this metal latch on it that was maybe rusted shut. So we hear this loud click, we look over, and the latch on the cabinet door had opened. And then, it was like something you'd see in a movie. The door started to swing open very slowly, and it even made the little sound, like the wood groaning, I guess. And we're both just staring at it wide-eyed, open-mouthed, and just completely shocked. We look back at each other, and it was like we made some unspoken agreement to just get out of the room as soon as possible. We both jumped up and ran for the door, and we could not get out of there fast enough. I just knew if I turned around, something would be behind me. We ran to the living room, we turned on all of the lights and started watching funny movies, and we didn't go back into my bedroom for the rest of the night. That was enough to make me never really want to mess with a Ouija board again. I never had another experience in that house, and my cousin and I never talked about it again. So, yeah, that's my story. Hope it wasn't too long. Again, I just want to say that I really enjoy the show and keep up the good work.
I think that's pretty lucky that it was just the door creak. And mm-hmm. that was like, nope, that's it. And nothing else ever happened.
Nobody else there.
Nope.
Or so you think. Well, until the next episode, we hear part two to that. I'm kidding.
No, it doesn't sound like anything else happened. That's good.
If you have to get your mind off of a paranormal event taking place in your residence, how do you do it? You've never really had it, but have you? I mean,
not an ongoing thing that I needed to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But let's just say something spooky happens.
Uh-huh.
What do you do to get your mind off of it?
I don't know. What do you do?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Do you have a go-to, a goal action plan?
Here,
as my sixth grade teacher would say.
I don't have a goal action plan, so I'm failing on that.
That's what we didn't have. Our sixth grade teacher was loony. And we had these things called goal action plans. We didn't do regular work. So really, sixth grade was a complete wash.
Uh-huh.
No reading, no math, no... I don't even know how she got away with it, because it really... She somehow claimed to the state, you know, that this is... She's working these all those subjects into her weird curriculum, although it really wasn't. The thing that I remember most was a unit on mealworms, and I'm not even making this up.
I know.
Where we had to have them go into, first of all, the goal action plans. We had to write up the plan of what we're going to do, like a big outline,
uh-huh.
how we're going to interact with our mealworms.
Okay.
And having sixth graders try to keep like three mealworms alive for 2 weeks is a bit of a task, but then try and get them to go through a maze. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. And these things didn't do anything. They're mealworms.
Yeah.
But she had this whole thing. Oh, they're such intelligent animals. I don't think they're technically animals. I mean, they're bugs or some, I mean, maybe yeah. not. There's some other species. I guess so, animals of some sort, but yeah. Anyway, it's just like, what are you talking about?
I had trouble with cereal for a long time after the mealworm unit because
yeah.
we grew ours in cereal.
And we didn't even grow them. She just gave them to us. Then we had to like have them do tricks.
Oh, no. We grew ours in cereal. And so that just grosses me out.
How does it even work? I mean, where it's... So these eggs are already basically in there. So uh-huh. you're consuming mealworm eggs whenever you're eating this food that these things can come out of, correct?
I guess. I don't really know.
Think of that next time you have some Cocoa Krispies.
I'm done with cereal. Just add it to my list of food aversions for this week.
All right. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for listening. If you like the program, become an EPP extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com, support the show there, and keep us on the air. We greatly appreciate it. And be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, iHeart. It's too many to name. Anyway, thank you for listening. For Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.